Welcome to the Vineyard Church of Greater Portland podcast.
For nothing.
We hope you enjoy this message by our guest speaker.
You can take me out back.
For more podcasts and other resources, please visit www.vineyardportland.org.
Okay, so I developed a little theme for the next 3 weeks. And what we're going to dive into is this idea of kingdom value, kingdom inheritance, and kingdom responsibility. And they kind of flow one from the next. So first we're going to figure out what our kingdom value is. And from there we're going to talk about, from that point, what our inheritance is. And then from there we're going to talk about what our responsibility is. But for this morning, we're going to talk about our kingdom value. And in order, I think, to really understand what our kingdom value is, I think we've got to answer two questions this morning. And the first one is this: where does our sense of value come from? And secondly, how is our value determined? So once we've figured out where our value comes from, or where it should come from, the next step in the process is, okay, well then how much are we worth? And how is that determined? So, we are going to start at the very beginning. The very beginning. You know that song by Coldplay, The Scientist?
Yes,
no?
I love that.
Yes! There's a line in that song that goes, I'm going back to the start. I'm going back to the start. I'm going back to the start. And that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to go back to the start. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 2. So, if you've got your Bibles out, take them out. Genesis chapter 2. Get your iPad, iPhone, whatever you got your Bible on, take it out. Chapter 2, it says this: Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath, and the word for breath there in the Hebrew is neshama. Breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. That is the scene at creation. Now, can you imagine God, nothing else around, in the midst of the earth? He's just like, man, I want to create something that kind of looks like me. Because we'll read a little bit later that we were formed in his image and his likeness. So I can just imagine God like being like, yeah, he gets right in the dirt and he's just like, no, really. And he's just, it's coming literally up from the earth. Man, literally coming up from the earth. I mean, I read that and I go, I don't really see it happening any other way. I mean, he literally formed man from the earth and the dust from the earth. So I can just see him like just do. I wish someone would create a movie and like depict this scene of God just forming man out of nothing, out of the earth. We are made up. If you look at the elements of the soil and you look at the elements of our body, they're the same thing. We are created from the dust of the earth. And at creation, God's original plan was an intimate relationship with him. At the beginning, his original plan was for us to have relationship with him and have dominion over the earth and everything on it. That's what we read in Genesis chapter 2. He created us, I believe, out of his love, but he also created us because we inherently had value. I don't think God ever created anything that didn't have value or didn't have a sense of worth. There would be no point in God creating something that had no value. That would completely go against the character of God. Every time God created something, we read in the creation story, what did he say? It is good. So that begs the question, why would God create something that is good that has no value? It's kind of the same in the world. You got this piece of art here. Thank you, Travis Lonigan, for lending this piece of art to me this morning for this purpose. It's the same as we see in the world. We have people that create things on this earth, whether it's a sculpture, whether it's a painting, whether it's a drawing, whether it's, you know, whether it's dance, whether whatever it is, there is a creative sort of spirit in us to create things on the earth. And someone created this. This is a piece of art that was created by somebody. And there is a sense of value on this that has been given to it by the creator because it was created. There would be no sense of value on this if it wasn't created. So by God's choice and through his love, whatever he creates has value. And it says this in Genesis 1:26. It says, we were created in his likeness or his image. And the word, the Hebrew word for image is this word called tselem. And it means resemblance. And the word for likeness is the word dama. And that word means to be like. So when God created us, we were created to be like him, to be, resemble him. We can get a little bit of a picture of what God's going to look like in heaven because this is what it says in Scripture about who he created us to be, in his image, in his likeness. Has anyone ever been compared to someone famous, like you look like someone famous? Has anyone ever been told, hey, you look like Chad, who? Oh, come on now. You. Oh, okay. Anybody? Anything? Anyone specific? George Clooney. Okay. This experiment is not going well. My point is this. Sometimes people tell us we look like someone, or sometimes, you know, we'll look at someone and be like, oh my gosh, you look like this person. And they're not an exact replication of the person, but they are, in a sense, like the person. You sort of look like the person. You have a resemblance of someone else that I know. And that's the word that is being used here. Are you with me? That is the word that is being used here to describe us by God in the creation story. So why would he create something like himself that he proclaims that is good that he finds no value in? That just doesn't make any sense. So going through this story, we can understand, and through the words that that God used to describe us, we can, I think, pretty easily infer that he has placed a sense of value on us, a sense of worth on us. And that is where we should look to find our sense of value and worth, is in him alone, just because he created us and he loves us. See, God originally created us to find our value solely in being his creation, in the object of his immeasurable and abounding love. This is where our sense of value should come from our God, Creator alone. But guess what? Did it stay that way? No, it didn't. Something happened. I want you to turn Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. I'm going to read it here. This is what it says. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it as well. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. Very early in this process, right after creation, we begin to see a shift. We begin to see humanity begin to desire or to begin to seek value and worth from something else. What did Eve look to give her a sense of value and worth apart from God? Wisdom. Being created by God was not enough for us in the garden. We decided that we were going to pursue our sense of worth and value in other things. And what was one of those things? Gaining knowledge and wisdom. We felt like we had to go searching for it elsewhere. See, before this encounter even happened that we just read, humanity knew no evil. Think about this. The original plan for God and us was to live forever. Right? It was before sin. And we know that when sin entered in, so did death and destruction. So think about this. In a world before sin and evil that we knew, what was there? There was only God and goodness. And in him, and in that, we can assume nothing else that we were going to spend eternity with him right here on the earth, praising him forever. But that's not what happened. From this point on, we see rebellion begin to take place, sin begin to take place, and one generation, we go from, oh God, I know you told me not to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. We go from that to the next generation where we see a murderous heart in their sibling, in their offspring. We see the story of Cain and Abel. And what Cain did to Abel. See, we went from a simple just, I am going to do this instead of this. Next generation, the sin and rebellion begin to manifest itself. And then Cain, what he does, he begins to find his worth and his dominion over his brother. So when Abel starts to find favor with God, instead of Cain being able to understand that, walk in his life with the Lord, he begins to find value and worth in his place, in his family. So when he sees Abel being pursued by God, when he sees Abel being blessed by God, he can't handle that. So what does he do? He follows his rebellious, sinful heart, and he kills his brother. So one generation, we go from that to that. That's why Jeremiah in chapter 17 says this, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. Our rebellion distorted our sense of value that God had originally placed on us at the point of creation. That is what happened. We were given this sense of value and worth by God through creation, through his love, and through sin and rebellion. Now, that idea and that value and that worth has been distorted by our free will to choose something other than what God has provided for us. And this is the condition we find ourselves today. Humanity finds ourselves today. In Romans, Paul says this. Romans 1:21, if you can bring it up. I'll read it in mine, but I like the NLT version a little bit better. But I have mine anyway, so let me just look it up right here. Romans 1:21. This is what it says. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. That is where we find ourselves today. David says this in Psalm. Do we have that one, Deb? David says this in Psalm 81, 10 to 13. I am the Lord your God who brought you out, up and out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. But my people did not listen to my voice. Israel would not submit to me, so I gave them over to their stubborn hearts. That is where we find ourselves this morning as humanity. As a people on this earth, that is where we find ourselves. I'm talking collectively. I'm not talking about you personally. But I'm talking about collectively as a human race. This is where we are. We fail to recognize the value and worth that has been bestowed upon us by God through creation. So, in the beginning I said, what do we have to do? We have to figure out where our value comes from, where our worth comes from. We've got to figure that out first. And the next thing we have to do is we have to determine what that value is worth. So, I think we can pretty much stand here pretty boldly and say, you know what? Our value and our worth comes from God, our creator, because he loved us and because he created us. And that value has been distorted through sin and rebellion that has permeated the humanity of the earth, has distorted our sense of value and worth that was originally designed to be put upon us. But we know that God has given us this sense of value and worth that can only be realized through him. Amen. There are so many things on this earth that will try to steal and distract us from understanding what kind of value and worth God has put on us at the beginning of time. Amen. Is there another way? Is there a way for us to determine our value? We know that we are valued and we were created with a sense of value and worth. But how much is it? Like, how much are we worth? When you look at something on the earth, in the physical, you look at that and go, well, that's worth something to me. But how do you determine how much that's worth? Because for me, this might be worth something less than for Deb or for Denny. This might not be worth as much to them as it is to me, this piece of art. It depends on your perspective. So how do we determine how much worth and how much value God has put on us? Because God has restored our value. He has made a way for our value and our worth to be restored this morning. He has already done that. But the only way that we can determine how much we're valued and how much we're worth is the same way that we can determine how much this is valued and how much this is worth. The only way we can determine that is to figure out how much we're willing to pay for this. Because I might be willing to pay a certain amount for this, but someone else might be willing to pay a higher amount for this. And someone may look at this and be like, I don't want that in my house at all. So the way we determine the value and worth of this right here is by figuring out how much someone is willing to pay for it. So how are we going to figure out how much our value and worth is to God that we know we have from creation? We need to figure out how much someone is willing to pay for us. We need to figure out who the purchaser is and how much they're willing to pay. I'll tell you who the purchaser is. I think we all know this. Maybe some of us don't at this point. but it is Jesus. He has purchased us. 1 Peter 1:18 says this, New Living Translation. Deb, you got that? Man, I am like dropping the ball this morning. Maybe that was me. 1 Peter 1:18 says this. Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. That is where we are living this morning. Knowing that we have been ransomed and paid for by the precious blood of Jesus. Not with perishable things, but with his blood. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. Jesus is our purchaser. And what is the price? Because if we know the price, we'll know how much we're worth. Amen. We'll know how much we're valued if we know the price. Right? So what's the price? 1 Timothy 2:5 and 6. Because in God's justice, his price will perfectly reflect the worth. God will never overpay for something. He will never underpay for something. In his perfect justice, his price reflects the worth and the value. So 1 Timothy 2:5 and 6 says this. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. What did he give? He gave himself. How much is that? That's right, Denny. Perfect timing. Just mute it. There you go. What did he give? He gave everything. Amen. Revelation 5:9. I hope this is a revelation to you guys this morning. I hope it is. If you're struggling with how much you think God loves you or how much he values you or how much he's worth, you're worth to him, I hope this helps you this morning. Because my one goal is for you to understand how much he values you and your worth to him this morning. And the only way we're going to determine that is by figuring out how much he paid. And the way we know how much he paid is by looking at scripture and saying, Lord, how much did you pay for us? Excuse me, children, I paid everything for you. Everything. I gave my son for you, so that means I gave everything. There is nothing I can give any more than what I've already given. So understand that. Revelation 5:9. Worthy are you to take the scroll, this is about Jesus, and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God. From every tribe and language and people and nation, everybody, and you have been made that, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. If there is ever any doubt about how much God has paid for you, Revelation 5:9 is pretty clear. He gave his son and everything he had for you. Why? Because God never forgets his first love. God never forgets the original plan that he set aside and set out for us in creation. His sole goal is to be intimate with us in a relationship with us from the beginning. So it is worth everything for him in order to gain you back so that he can restore that for you this morning. Amen. But think about this for a moment, really quick. Why did he pay everything? I mean, we just talked about it, but this is me speaking right now. This is not scripture. So I just want to preface that. I believe that he paid everything because that's what we're worth. But at the same time, think about this. If he paid everything, there is nothing on this earth that can pay a higher price to determine your value. There is nothing on this earth that can pay a higher price that determines your value. Because no one can pay a higher price than he did. Now, I didn't have any scripture references for that or any backing. That's just from my heart. I feel like, God, you paid everything so that no one can have any authority over us to tell us that we're valuable or worth anything. There's nothing in our life that we can look to and say, you know what, that gives me more of a sense of value and worth than God does. Because God paid a higher price than whatever it is that you're seeking to give you value and worth. 1 Corinthians 7:23, Paul says, you were bought with a price. You were bought with a price. And what he's saying there is, don't let anyone, he said, you are bought with a price. Don't be a slave or don't be a bondservant to men because you were bought with a price. Your life was bought with a price. Don't become slaves to men because you were bought with a price. And what Paul is saying there was a lot of people in the Corinthian church that were dictating to people, now that you're in Jesus, you got to do all these things. Like, if you're married, you got to divorce your husband or wife because they're not a Christian. Or you need to get married. Or, there was all kinds of things going on where people were trying to put things on people after they came to Jesus. There were Jews that were being pressured by Greeks to get circumcised, to renounce their Jewish faith. There were Greeks that were being pressured by Jews to be circumcised because if they weren't, then they weren't considered true Christians. And what Paul is saying is, listen, you have become a believer in Jesus. Don't let anything else define who you are. Don't set your affection and your sense of worth and value on anything else but him and the unity we have with one another. That's what he's saying. So the next time in your life that you begin to look at yourself and you begin to seek value and worth in other things, remember that whatever that is did not pay a high enough price for you to seek your value in that. Because we can seek our value in a lot of things this morning. There's a couple things that I just want to mention super quick. And these are all good things. They really are. And they're all important things. But let me just say this, that we can seek our value in our friends and in our families. We can constantly be looking to be accepted by, say, our father or our mother or our siblings. We can constantly trying to find a sense of worth and value in our friends. We can wake up every morning and check our Facebook feed and our Instagram feed and figure out how many people like this and how many people commented on this and how many people, are following me. You know, we can seek a sense of value and worth in what people think of us, our friends and our family. And these are good things. But ultimately, apart from Jesus, we should not be seeking our sense of value and worth in them. Our families are amazing. You know, our parents, you know, our kids, you know, whatever your family structure looks like, it is good. But seeking a sense of value and worth in that apart from Jesus is unhealthy. It's the same with our kids. You know, Jackson is 10. If I seek my sense of value and worth in being his father outside of Jesus, I'm about 10 years from being devalued because he is not going to rely on me for the things that he relies on me now. I will not have to clean his room every single night filled with Legos because he doesn't do it. Well, he does, but not all the time. My point is this. I love my kids. I love being a dad. I wouldn't trade it for the world. But I will not seek my sense of value and worth solely in me being a father, because that is not healthy. What happens when I no longer have to provide for them? Then where am I? I'm lost because I have not figured out, Lord, you give me value, you give me worth, and that's where I am. Amen. It's the same with our job. We're one pink slip away from being devalued. You can find a lot of value in your work, man, but when someone tells you they don't need you anymore, what's that going to feel like? And it goes on and on. We can find value in so many other things. But he gave everything for us. So that should tell you how much you mean to him this morning. I'll give you one last example. Jackson, let me see your puppy there. See this puppy? Travis, you'll be happy to know this is an L.L. Bean puppy. This puppy was bought probably about 3 years ago. This thing is... Okay, whatever. Dingy is dirty. Sorry. I know you love your puppy, buddy, but man, this thing needs a wash. Okay. So a couple weeks ago, we went out and we took a walk in the woods behind our house. And Jackson decided he wanted to bring his puppy with him. So we get back from our walk in the woods and we get back to the house. And I get in the house, and Jackson's already in the house, and he's like frantically walking around the house, like trying to figure out what's going on here. And I said, buddy, what are you doing? And he goes, I lost my puppy. I said, what? I go, why'd you bring your puppy on the walk? Could you just leave the puppy at home? But no, he can't. He takes this thing everywhere. This thing went to California and back with us, and it made it. So I said to him, I said, okay, buddy. Well, first Shanna said, buddy, we can just get another puppy. But he didn't want another puppy. He wanted to find this puppy. And so I said to him, Jackson, we'll make a deal. I said, tomorrow morning, we'll get up really early. And after we're done all of our stuff, we'll go out and find your puppy. We'll try to find your puppy. It's like, could be anywhere. So guess what Jackson does the next morning? This guy doesn't get up till, well, he gets up at 6:30. But he doesn't necessarily start doing his stuff at 6:30 that he needs to do. So we get up at 6:30, or I get up at 7. He's already up doing his schoolwork, brushed his teeth already. This guy was like, I am on a mission to find this puppy. I am going to get my stuff done. I'm going to sacrifice my morning that I normally do other things, and I am going to get my work done, get everything done, so that me and Daddy can go out and find this puppy when I'm done. That's right. So we get done the work. We head out to the trail. They head out. I head out. I'm walking on the trail. All of a sudden, my phone rings. No. My phone went off. I got a text from somebody. Checked it. Da-da-da-da. Clicked it off. Put it in my pocket. Looked down. Boom. Puppy. I grabbed the puppy. And I yelled at Jackson, I said, Jackson, I found your puppy. My point is this. There is a sense of value and worth that he has assigned to this puppy. And out of this desire and sense of worth, he was willing to sacrifice his morning to do the things he needed to do in order to put himself in position to gain this puppy. He was willing to pay whatever it took because of what value he assessed to this puppy. And I thought to myself, Lord, that's kind of like you and us. You will do anything to rescue us because you give us value and worth. And when we ask you how much it is that you've decided to pay for us, your answer is everything. Amen. Everything. So that's all I got for this morning. So we're going to pray, and we're going to have some ministry time. So, Melissa, why don't you come on up? So why don't we all stand? And I'm just going to pray, and I want you guys to understand this morning, if nothing else, God has placed immeasurable value and worth on your life. So much that the price he paid was everything. So, can I have the ministry team come up? And then we're going to, if you guys are assigned to the ministry team this morning. Father, I just thank you, God, for how much you paid for us. And I ask, Lord, God, as we go through our day, we go through our week, and in some sense, we don't feel your presence. We don't feel a relationship. We don't feel you in our life. Lord, I pray, God, that you would remind us of how much we are worth to you. That there is nothing, there is no place you won't go, there is nothing you won't do in order to restore the intimacy that you first created with us. Father, I thank you.